In the name of Jesus, amen. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. On this Pentecost day, our focus is indeed the Holy Spirit. But as we look through the Holy Scriptures, we notice that they talk a lot about the Holy Spirit and what He does, yet rarely does the Holy Spirit ever speak. There are a few places where the Holy Spirit speaks, and even then He speaks through others, like King David, or the psalmist, or the prophet Isaiah, or the apostle Paul, or Peter. As I sifted through the Scriptures, I could only find two times where the Holy Spirit actually directly speaks, and they are both found in the apocalyptic book given to St. John, Revelation. So God the Father speaks a lot, God the Son speaks a lot, but God the Holy Spirit, it would seem that He is an extra in an otherwise robust and Trinitarian salvation narrative. And so with little evidence of God the Holy Spirit, we often seek after visible evidence. So when Pentecost rolls around, which as you know is 50 days after Easter, our minds often go straight to Acts chapter 2, to that little cramped room where all the disciples were waiting in fear. And as you know, a mighty rushing wind, kind of like the big bad wolf kind, blow your house kind of wind, came through. Tongues of fire begin to speak of the Holy Spirit's power. Ooh. It's like came out, you know, when you're reading children's books to your kids, lots of those sounds tend to come, they're in those books. Anyway, the scene was firmly placed into our mind, and we are given to great wonder. The visible evidence, it enraptures us, if you will. And so it is with us today. But as Lutherans, however, we don't talk this way, and for good reason. But when people do speak about the church where people are excited and where grand things are happening, when growth is perhaps even visible to the church, when the singing of the church rocks the foundation of the church and maybe even hands sway in the air, where maybe some are speaking in unknown languages, they often say the following: this church is Spirit-filled, or this church is filled with the Spirit. And when thousands of people believe in Jesus and are baptized into Jesus as they were that first Pentecost day, they often say, and also that the church is in reach and the church is outreach in the community, people will often say, the Spirit is moving in that church. But when nothing is happening, or seemingly, when the church seemingly looks stagnant, when the Sunday school shrinks in numbers, when the youth group basically disappears, when funerals exceed that of marriages and baptisms, they pray earnestly for the Spirit to move, to do something. But I want you to go back at some point, not now, to Acts chapter 2. And I want you to read it again, and I don't want you just to read the first 21 verses. I want you to read the whole chapter. It's not that long. And when you read it again, be aware of the ear and the eye imagery. And you will find, as you read through this chapter, that it's not really about what the people saw, but about what was said. Because the people don't gather because they saw some strange things. They likely didn't see anything. Only disciples dwelling in that cramped room saw such exquisite things. They come together because, as the text tells us, they heard the sound. And what do the people talk about? How they hear the disciples speaking in their own languages, how they hear these Galileans speaking of the mighty works of God in their own languages. And when Peter gets up in the pulpit, he lifts up his voice and he says, "Give ear to my words. Listen to me. This is what was uttered by the holy prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." They will speak, that is. Peter doesn't really talk about signs and wonders. He does say, though, that after these days there will be many signs and wonders in heaven on earth before that great day of the Lord. But here's the thing. None of those things will convince people to believe in Jesus, even though we're convinced of that. None of those things will create faith in the ears of sinners. Peter also preaches that Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you, that is to Israel, by God, with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Yes, God did things that could be seen by the eye. But ask yourself, what was the result of those things? Was it faith? Not so much. It was death. It was death. They crucified him, Peter says. They crucified him, that whom God made both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this preaching of repentance, they were what? They were cut to the heart. Convicted. And then they said, naturally, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and also for your children, for all those who are near and all those who are far off." So in the economy of the Holy Trinity, if you will, the Father sends the Son, and the Son sends the Spirit, and the Spirit speaks through the apostles. And the apostles can only speak of him of whom has sent them. They are sent ones, literally, and they speak only of Jesus. They cannot help but speak of what they have heard and what they have seen. And that's exactly what Jesus promised them, and that is what they received. You heard in the gospel reading a little bit of this, that "I will send another helper, and he will bring to your remembrance everything that I have said to you. And he will testify, bear witness, speak concerning me. And he will guide you into all truth, that is me. And he will not speak from himself, but he will speak of whatever he hears, he will speak and he will proclaim it to you. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and proclaim it to you." All this Jesus says. So the Holy Spirit, he speaks through the Scriptures and through its promises. He, the Spirit, testifies to the Son, who is the sum and the substance of all Holy Scripture, who gives to you freely the treasures and the glories of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is not silent. You cannot shut up the Holy Spirit. He's like a 4-year-old who talks incessantly. He's always speaking, always talking. But he's always talking about Jesus. Ironically, though, and as you can well imagine, you can't hear him unless he shuts you up also. Just a little self-reflection on my part brings with me the reality of how many words I use and form in my mind and in my mouth that are purely about me. I like me. You like me. It's not in the text, but talking about yourself is never hard, even like an introvert for me. It's not. We may get better as we get older about hiding talking about ourselves. But from the day that we are born, each one of us is consumed with me. It comes to mind the country artist Toby Keith. He has his song about, I want to talk about me, want to talk about I, want to talk about number one, and then some other country songs, and then what I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. He likes talking about him. So, as you can well imagine, for the Holy Spirit to get a word in edgewise, he's got to silence all of that. And not only does he have to silence all my talking, he's got to silence all the talking out there, that is, of the world. For if you think you talk a lot, the world, as you know, constantly is talking. Constantly. Social media, texting, blah, blah, blah. They're constantly talking. And so the Holy Spirit comes to silence all of that because of sin, because that is unbelief. He comes to silence the world about our righteousness when we think that it's all about me and when we think it's about our holiness and our good works. But the Holy Spirit will speak only of Jesus going to the Father by way of his death and his resurrection and his ascension. We don't see him, that is Jesus, so the Spirit speaks him to us. He comes to silence the world because of judgment. The judgment of the ruler of this age, who is judged, as you know, by Christ's victory. And now the ruler of this age, this evil one, is cast out. And so you are not to follow him, for his end is destruction. And for all those who follow after him, who follow after the world and their sinful flesh, is simply destruction. Every mouth must be stopped. All tongues must stick to the roof of our mouths. And then the Spirit will do what he loves to do. What he did in the valley of the dry bones, what he did in the beginning, and what he do and what he will do in the end. He will stuff your ears and your body with Jesus. He will fill your mouths with Jesus. He will speak Jesus into your heart and body and soul. Until, that is, you hear nothing, you think nothing, you know nothing, and you say nothing but Jesus. As for now, still not holy in life, have some more Jesus. Still sinning in this life, have some more Jesus. Still haunted by the sins of your past, have some more Jesus. Still lonely and afraid, have some more Jesus. Still grieving and doubting and hurting, have some more Jesus. Still carrying around that body of death of yours, have some more Jesus. And when I say have some more Jesus, I'm not just simply talking about listening to Jesus. I'm also specifically talking about eating and drinking Jesus. Because you cannot separate the Spirit from Jesus and Jesus from the Spirit and his body and his blood. The Spirit will not be separated from Jesus' death, and the Spirit will not be separated from Jesus' resurrection. He will speak of nothing else. And then after Jesus' ascension, he will speak through the apostles, the sent ones. And Peter's sermon is just that. It's a broken record of Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension that gives into our ears the tune of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. It's a melody of mercy, if you will, that sounds joyous in the ear of the sinner. So today, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit speaks the same words to you as he spoke that first day, and you are silent as he speaks your forgiveness. You are silent as he gives you his body and his blood. You are silent as he blesses you with his benediction of peace. You are silent as he fills your ears and your mouth with Jesus. And then you speak and you confess those same words that he spoke to you. Words about Jesus. Words that declare to you what Jesus has done for you. And you know what? Jesus gathers and he creates by his Spirit this thing we call the Christian church. But he does it from nothing. He does it, as we say, ex nihilo, out of nothing, but simply by his spoken word, out of his mouth. He creates you, the communion of saints, and he sustains you with holy things. You know, that regenerative baptism which you are baptized with, and that incorruptible body and blood that you are to eat. And in this place where you are fed and nourished, he daily and richly forgives all your sins, the sins of all believers. And he does that until your final day, when you and all the dead shall be raised, and he will give you by his Spirit eternal life. For it is not heavenly and hidden and speculation that lead to salvation, but is rather holding fast to what is stated in the clear Word of God, in the preaching of his Word, and the delivery of his sacrament into your mouth, which all can be heard and all can be received by you, the sinner, for the sake of your eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen.